Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I'm so excited about this word today because how many of you, I'm going to ask this question. How many of you ever been in a dark place? A really dark place. The key is knowing the Word of God and having that relationship with the Lord Jesus. Yes. When you have those two elements working with you, no matter how much the darkness wants to set in, the light will drive it out. But we have to understand who we are in Christ. If you don't understand who you are in Christ, then you're never going to know the glory of God, the presence of God, the awesomeness of God, how He can use you in this life for such a time as this. And as I went before the Lord and I sat before Him, I said, God, help us. Help us. And I'm praying that this is not just another sermon for Sunday. I'm praying that it would resonate, that we would truly get a hold of God, and that we can believe the things that God has done for us. Listen, it's already done. He accomplished it on the cross. Now, we need to walk in now. We need to be part of the story now. We need to enter in. Enter into the story. Because Jesus is coming back soon. I hope you know that. And He's looking for a church without any spot and wrinkle. And what He wants to see is the blood that's applied to our life, the blood of Jesus. And I'm praying for our YouTube family and Facebook, if you're watching with us, maybe for the first time, maybe you've never given your heart to Christ, I pray that don't click this off now. You enjoy beautiful worship. Now God's going to speak to you. And so don't turn this off just yet. Allow God to minister to your soul. I believe this is your moment today. And so, without any further ado, let's go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I'm asking now, God, that You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless You and praise You in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Saints of God, I've entitled this morning's message, Beyond Mere Mortals. Beyond Mere Mortals. We come into this world unregenerated. What does that mean? We come into this world as sinners. We come into this world not knowing who God is. Matter of fact, as we start to grow from infancy to our toddling ages, and then to our youth, and then young adult, until God gets a hold of your heart, you will always be running away from God. And you will be always doing the things contrary to the will of God. But until that encounter comes, you will stay in your unregenerated state. And I like the words of my brother would say every now and then. There's a lot of people that know how to fake the funk. They know how to play Christianese. They'll give you a facade. Yeah, I'm a believer, but deep inside there has never been a change. And the darkness manifests and it'll reveal to that heart, you need to get right with God. But this story, this message is to enlighten us, to show that us true born-again believers have something that the natural man and the natural woman around this world, most of them do not have. Did you know that the born-again church is only 10% around the world? Only 10%. There's a lot of people that say, I believe, and they're Christians. They say, I'm Christians, but they've never been truly born again. Filled with the Holy Spirit of power to live right, to walk right, to talk right, to dress right. It's a transformation that God does. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 16 through 21. And here we go. The Word of God reads, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, meaning the flesh, unregenerated. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, I need you to catch this, he is a new creation. Say that with me. He is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My question is to each and every one of us, since you've given your heart to Christ, are you brand new? Have you become brand new? Do you love the things of God? Or do you still dabble in darkness? Look at this in verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. You see, here's the key. When God saved us, he reconciled us back to God. And with that power and anointing that's upon us, we're able to reconcile one another. But we can't do it without the power of God. We can't do it in the flesh. We can't do it in our own strength. Why? Because we don't have God's power. We don't have his divine nature in us. Look at this. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Here's the miracle. When God truly saves you, he remembers your sin no more. He remembers your sin no more. How many are so blessed to know that? How many of you want to have that confidence knowing that when I wake up in the morning, my sins have been forgiven? And I don't no longer have to walk in condemnation. But the devil will lie to you all day long. And if you listen to him, you'll fall for his traps. Look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Say that with me. We are an ambassador for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. He is pleading through us to be an ambassador for him. And you know how you become an ambassador? It's because of what he has done in you. And now he has presented you to the world so that the world can see a difference. They can see someone representing Christ here on this earth. And it's through your actions, through your motives, through your love, through the joy, through the fruit of the Spirit. But if none of that is operating, something has disconnected. Look at this. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus did it all for you? You see, we couldn't do this on our own strength. We don't know how. We are powerless, but he is the one that's powerful. Praise God. So we're going to look at some attributes here. We need to go deeper and deeper to find out these things. Praise God, praise God. So let's look at this right up here. Number one, it's already done. This is why we have this little sign here. It is finished. Sister Linda Stupp gave us this as a remembrance that it is done. It is completed. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I remember getting filled with the Holy Ghost 33 years ago. Never been the same. One of the things that he did that was so miraculous, I can't comprehend it today, was that I had a foul potty mouth. Bleepity, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep. And I can curse someone out like a sailor, a drunken sailor, with the best of them. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, he drove that out. You know what he did? He went into my heart and he deleted that file of cursing, threw it in the trash bin, and then deleted the trash bin. You see, saints, stop trying to become a new creature and accept the reality that you are already one. Can I get amen? And look at this. You are not an old sinner saved by grace. Listen, God will save a child. God will save a youth. God will save an adult. God will save an old timer. Can I get an amen? You know what used to get under my skin? The old church I used to attend, they used to say, turn around and shake your hand with a sinner. What? I kept saying to myself, wait a minute. God has washed away my sins. He's looking at me as a child of God. Yeah, even though I do sin and make mistakes, but I'm no longer in that position. He doesn't see me like that no more. Can I get amen? Look at this. It's in the New Living Translation in Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. Look at that. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when you raised Christ from the dead. Look at verse 5. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, when you were born again, saints of God, your identity changed.
Yes, it does.
Can I get an amen? Your identity changed. Oh, that's right. I used to run into some old folks in high school. Oh, man, are you still selling that? I go, yeah, I sure am. I'm selling Jesus. And he's free, though. Huh? Yeah, Jesus. That's right. Great opportunity to share Christ. Can I get amen? You see, saints, you are no longer a sinner. You may sin, but you are no longer a sinner. I hope you get this in your soul. Sinning after salvation does not change your identity back to being a sinner. Stop identifying as a sinner and embrace the reality, the gift of being saved by grace. I'm at work in progress. Can I get amen? God is working on me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. None of us are perfect. And until he comes, then we will become perfected. Can I get amen?
That's right.
We're all just here by God's grace. Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. Because we were all wretches. Can I get amen? Look at number 3. Look at this. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. Look at this. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. I need you to catch something in the spirit here. When you wake up in the morning, as a believer, born again, as you wake up in the morning and you prepare for your day, oh, I got to go to Walmart. Oh, I got to go pick up my kids in school. Oh, whatever the case may be, when God looks down and sees you from heaven, guess what? All he sees is the blood upon your life, and he sees no sin in us. Can I get an amen on that? But that's only to the true born-again child of God who's been washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Spirit. Until that takes place, you're on the opposite of the spectrum, and you need to get to that place through Christ. And so, saints of God, we're not old sinners. Can I get amen? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is the state that is acceptable to God. It simply means to be in right standing before God. Righteousness is the standing of every believer. Can I get amen? We're in right standing with God. And it's through faith, through God's grace, through his mercy, and through his divine power. Here's another aspect that some people, they battle with this 24/7, I really believe, is this. You are forgiven.
That's right.
You have been forgiven. Listen, if God has forgiven you your transgressions, what about others that have done you wrong? You know, Jesus, I don't have time to go into this parable, but Jesus talks about this one master who demanded his slave to pay him back for, you know, according to the times of Jesus, that was like millions of dollars. And he pleaded for mercy. The servant pleaded for mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And so the heart of the master said, I've forgiven you. Your slate is clean. Go. I've forgiven you. I've let your debt go. So then the story goes on. That servant had someone serving under him. And that little servant underneath him owed him about 10 bucks. And he threw him in jail for not paying him the $10. And Jesus said, you wicked servant, I have forgiven you for so much. And you're throwing him in jail for $10 where I forgave you for a million. I need you to get this. We've been forgiven for so much. Can I get an amen? For so much. Who are we to hold someone against someone? Especially if they repent. They have to repent and turn to God. And once they get to that place, who are we to say anything? Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, we have a new nature, right? You see, my friends, believers have been forgiven. The blood of Jesus has washed away all of our sins. The Bible clearly establishes this. Can I get an amen? Look what it says in the book of Revelation right here. Look at this. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Listen. Once the heart repents and then the blood comes upon you, my goodness, there's a million tons of weight that lifts from you. Yes. That's right. The weight was sin and just heaviness and confusion and anger and clamor, backbiting, all these things that we naturally do. And then God comes and cleanses you and forgives you. Hallelujah. And then the burden is lifted. And then we can walk in freedom. Because now God fills us with his Holy Spirit of promise. And now we're walking around with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look what Paul wrote to the Colossian church in the New Living Translation. Look at this. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut out. No, I want to go to Revelation right here. Look at this, in Revelation, from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over all the kings, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his what? Own blood. You see, you have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb in order to receive what I'm saying here this morning. Without being washed in the blood, you will remain in your unregenerated state. Oh, Jesus, help us, God. Saints, to experience the superhuman life and live in new creation realities, you must believe you are forgiven. How many believe that you're forgiven?
Amen.
Because that's what's going to allow you to enter in. That's what's going to allow you to walk in grace and walk in his mercy. And you may think, saints, that it seems so elementary and basic, but many people deeply struggle within their hearts to believe that God has forgiven them. Some of us committed atrocious stuff. Oh, come on. When I was a young adult, all we did was just go to El Toyon Park, get drunk on the bull, and go fight someone. Oh, come on. You remember those days? Unruly. Ungodly. We looked for trouble. And you know what? God still chose to forgive me. I look back and I said, God, thank you. Thank you for that, for delivering me from that life of debauchery. Because if it wasn't you intervening in my life, I wouldn't be here today preaching to you. It was the mercy of God. You see, my friends, the price Jesus paid on the cross handled our past, present, and any sins that will be committed in the future. Because we still live in this sinful body. Can I get an amen? The body has yet to be regenerated, but the soul and spirit has. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, my friends, I ask this. Let me ask this question. What should believers do if they sin? What should they do? Should they dig a hole and put their head in the sand? And let the world go by? You see, I need you to understand this. When we got saved, who's the one that intercedes for us 24/7 now? Jesus, right? So what Jesus did, because he's going to finally judge the world. But for us, hallelujah. He took off the robe, stepped down from the throne, and then he became our attorney. He became our attorney. Oh, come on. Yes, he did. Listen, this is what he did. Here you are standing guilty before God. Standing guilty before God right here. And he stepped down. And he stepped over the transgression. He turned and said, Father, I have forgiven them. And I've covered them with my blood. Hallelujah. And so now the Father says, I can't touch that because my Son has covered them with my blood. Hallelujah. Come on, you got to get that in your spirit. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is the one, hallelujah, that fights our battles. But if you don't come to him and you take it on with your own strength, you will crash and burn. You need Jesus. I need him every day. As soon as I wake up, I take that first breath. Jesus, thank you for another day. Oh, help me through this day, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so the question was, what should we do when we do sin? Right here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Why? Because he's the just God. Hallelujah. To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? Some? All. All unrighteousness. Praise God. Now, as believers, we have this. This is so awesome. You have divine access to the throne room of God. Divine access. Saints, as you understand, you are forgiven and have made been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. You and I should realize that nothing stands between you and God. As it says in Hebrews. Look at what it says in Hebrews. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. Look at this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Look at this. And by his death, Jesus opened a new life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. We weren't allowed to go there before. But see, on the cross, when he said, it is finished, and he gave up his spirit, during that time, in the holies of holies, the veil, which was thick and tall. It tore from the top to the bottom, and that opened up salvation to us, even the Gentiles. Can I get amen? Praise God. Praise God. It had to be that way. It had to be that way. And so you know what? Some people have taken it in a different connotation. I don't hate the Jewish people for denying him. I thank them. Thank you. Thank you. Because you have, that's allowed us to come in. And then God will come back to them. And deliver them. Praise God. But I thank the Jews. I love the Jews. Thank you. Thank you. You don't know what you've done for me. Thank you. Don't be their enemy. Amen. Come here. And then that will open up a door. What did I do? Oh, come here. Let me tell you more. Listen. Another thing that has to get into your spirit is this. You are redeemed. Redeemed. Hallelujah. Redeemed, meaning God paid the precious price on the cross and redeemed you back to God. Yes. You see, we originally were to live like in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, we were supposed to live that way of life. But because of their transgression, they were thrown out of paradise. But God had a plan. God had a plan. He had a plan that God will supernaturally in the future come back and redeem us. Hallelujah. Listen, there's no waste with God. There is no waste with God. Can I get amen? Look at what it says here in Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Listen, we were all on death row. Yes. Come on, we were dead men walking. You ever seen the Green Mile? The Green Mile, dead men walking, dead men walking. We were all headed to a fiery place called hell. And then, because why does it say Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law? The law of Moses, the law of the Old Testament, the law of the Torah, if you look at that, it pointed out our sin. And praise God. The reason why it says we are delivered from the curse of the law, because the law could not save us. Can I get an amen? The law pointed out, okay, you have fallen short. I'm sorry, but for God's standards, you're not getting in here. And so God had to destroy the curse of the law, because the law says you are condemned. Jesus came and said, I have saved them by my blood. Hallelujah. That's why it said, cursed who's everyone who hangs on a tree. Back then, all those people that died on that hideous type of death. And even today, there's people dying hideously. But Jesus defeated that. Look at this. I need you to catch this in 1 Peter. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things.
Thank you, Lord.
In other words, you didn't take your life to Walmart and they redeemed something here.
No.
Like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your fathers. But with the precious, say that with me, but with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we were redeemed, by the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? There's churches that don't talk about the blood no more. But it's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. Listen, before you can receive the Holy Spirit in you, you must be washed with the blood of the lamb. And before you can be washed in the blood of the lamb, there has to be a heart of repentance. You got to turn to God. Confess and say, Lord, I need you. I have sinned. I cannot make it into heaven with my own strength. Oh, God, save me. When you cry out with a heart of repentance, you turn from your wicked ways. You turn to God from your sin, and you turn your backside on sin, and you walk toward God. Then God says, okay, now I'm going to wash you with my blood. And once the blood applies, then the Holy Spirit comes in, because God cannot dwell in darkness. God will not dwell with someone that has never been washed in the blood, because light and darkness do not go together. So once the blood is covered, now the Holy Spirit can live inside of these fleshly bodies, because the blood has covered us. Praise God. You got to catch this, because that's the only way. This is God's way. This is not Pastor Fee 101. This is the Word of God. We're reading it right now with the precious blood of Christ. Thank you, God. And so, saints, to be redeemed is to be bought back, to be liberated due to the payment of a ransom, to be delivered, meaning God had to ransom us back. Guess who had us before God came and redeemed us? Old Slewfoot. Satan himself. How do I know this? Because Jesus told the Pharisees. He had a problem with the religious folks. He said, "You are of your father the devil." So when we come into this world born through our mother's womb, we're not children of God. No, we're not. Until we experience the second birth. Because we need to be born from above. We've been born one time naturally through our mother's womb. And now we need that second birth to come from above. And without being born from above, you are still in your sin. I don't care how much Christianese you know. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. And go home and live like the devil, spewing out ungodliness. Until that change takes place, you will remain in your sin. I know this is not a popular message, but God said, preach this.
That's right.
It's going to help someone get delivered.
Yes.
It'll help someone get set free.
Amen.
Can I get amen? You see, Satan held them captive in sin, darkness, evil, and despair. And when they were born again, they were ransomed and walked out of the slavery of sin. And when they were redeemed from sin, they were also redeemed from all other manners of iniquity. Praise God. Saints of God, you and I, we have the advantage as believers. We have an advantage. Why? Because we could come alongside someone and help them. We can tell them about the love of God. We can tell them that God can deliver you, that God can save you, that God can heal you. But then after we planted that seed, we got to let God do what he's going to do. Because let me just say this. You cannot hold anyone's coattail into heaven. Oh, my mom and dad is saved. I'm going to hold on to their coattail. Uh-uh. Bible says, save yourself from this untoward generation. This is a personal relationship with God. I don't care if you have 50 family members that are saved and you're not, you can't go in because of their anointing. You can't. It doesn't work that way. Look what Paul wrote to the Galatian church. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Hallelujah. We are new creatures in Christ. That's right. Listen, there are 614 laws in the Old Testament. Bible says if you break one of them, you've broken them all. And so the greatest commandment, who knows what the greatest commandment Jesus said? Because there was 614 and none of us can keep either one of them. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the greatest commandment, and those Old Testament laws hinge, and the prophets hinge on those two commandments. So when you learn to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, now the grace of God is at work in your life. You see, the word avails means to have the advantage or to have a condition or circumstance that causes a person to be in favorable or superior position. And it's not about us being better than you. It's that God has elevated you from darkness.
Yes.
And now you can walk in the light. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Because listen, go back to your BC years. All we did was walk in darkness. And now he has elevated us to walk in light. It's been done supernaturally. Praise God. We are divine creatures now. Thank you, God. God has done it all for you and I, saints of God. And what gives us the advantage of being a new creature? It's the new creation. Us, the brand new you. The brand new you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are brand new. In Christ Jesus. Come on, we're brand new in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God. You see, when you were born again, you were given the advantage of the new life. You are no longer in a disadvantaged position, but you have now taken advantage of what God has done for us. Others may have more privilege than you in certain areas, but you are not a disadvantage in any sense in this world. Can I get amen? Listen, Bill Gates can do whatever he wants with his billions and millions and minions, all right? Some of you may only have $10 in your savings account, but guess what? You still have an advantage over him, unless he repents, unless he gives his heart to Christ. All that, Jesus is going to say one day to someone like that who won't give his heart to Christ. He says, this day, your soul is required of me. What does that mean? We don't know when God's going to stop our heart to beat and no longer is going to be on this earth. And then God's going to say, your soul is required this day of me. This is why, don't play around with God. If you're claiming to be a believer, do not play around with God. Do not play. He needs to be reverenced. He's holy. He's loving. But he's also a just and righteous God. I've heard so many testimonies where people came after men and women of God, and those people are no longer walking on earth. Don't come against a man or woman of God. Keep your mouth off them. If you have nothing good to say, don't say it at all, nothing at all. I've learned, don't speak nothing. Because that same word will come right back at you like a boomerang. Be cautious. Be cautious. And do not let any person or group cause you to believe you are disadvantaged, because we're not. We're royalty. I hope you know that. How many believe that we're royalty? You know why? Because this is what God has called us. He has called us to be this right up here. Look at this. You are an overcomer. Hallelujah. We've overcome. We're overcomers. Look at this. It's right here in the Word. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So if you're born of God, you have overcome this fallen world. Praise God. Look at this. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. Praise God. How many of you are blessed to know that it was our faith in Christ Jesus? Look at this. Verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And he birthed that in us. He's the one that caused us to believe, because at one time we were walking in unbelief.
That's right.
Those BC years that I just shared with you, I was walking in unbelief. Praise God. How many believe that we serve a mighty God? Give him a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. You know, many times I get into one of these messages and I like to hurry it up. I'm not going to hurry this one up. This needs to saturate in our minds and our heart. Saints, God has not planned a life of defeat for you. How many believe that? You were born again to win. Thank you, God. In this life, you will face difficulties and various attacks of the enemy. We get that. But do not let the difficulties of life and the attacks of the demonic forces dishearten you and cause you to despair or persuade you to quit. You know, the devil wants you to throw in the towel. Oh, God don't love me. I might as well just go end it. That's someone talking loud and saying nothing. There's an old saying, you're talking out the side of your neck. That's a lie from the pit. Can I get an amen? That's a lie from the pit. Don't get caught up in the lies of the devil. Instead of giving up, you must embrace the new creation reality that we are an overcomer. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. When you wake up tomorrow morning, say, when you go home, I'm an overcomer. The gates of hell will not prevail. Can I get amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. See, an overcomer doesn't just only win. An overcomer overwhelms, overpowers, vanquishes, and conquers the opposing force. Never forget what Paul wrote to the Roman church. Look at this. Yet in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. You are a conqueror. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a conqueror. That's right. You should never be walking in defeat. We're to know that Jesus has won the battle and we're following him all the way to the end. Even with all that's going on in your life, who cares? God's the one that cares, and he will strengthen you and he'll give you direction and he'll know what to do with you. Can I get an amen? Saints of God, a new creation, you are not fighting for victory. You are fighting for a place of victory. You're already on the winning side. How many believe you're already on the winning side? So give thanks to God always because he gives us triumph. How do I know that? Because Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, now thanks be to God who always leads us in what? Triumph. He don't lead us to despair. He don't lead us to lose. He leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. In other words, wherever you go, the word of God, the wisdom, the anointing, the power will resonate and flow through you. Hallelujah. Because we are supernatural beings. We're not like the old man who had no power. We got divine God's power in it. It doesn't make us a God, no. But we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God, who is divine, and he has shared that with us. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that God is using you? Look at this. And you and I have to come to grips that you and I have a new nature. A new nature. A new nature. The new creation comes with a new nature. Look what Paul the Apostle explained in 2 Peter. Look at this. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Are you catching that? It's his divine power that was given to us that pertain to life and godliness. Did it say life and wretchedness? Does it say life and sin? Does it say life and debauchery? Does it say life and vulgar language spewing out of your mouth? Does it say life and I'm going to curse you until you die? Does it say that? No, it's life and godliness, to live holy, to live righteously, to love one another, to lift one another up, to pray for one another, to lay hands on one another, and watch God do the miraculous in their life. That's what it's all about. It's not about us no more. We need to learn how to die to self and allow God to just work mightily in us so that God will get all the glory. How many of you want to give God all the glory? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. His divine power. Look at verse 4, says, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. So with the divine power, there's precious promises to you and I. Exceedingly great, beyond, beyond our expectation, beyond our imagination. These are things that God has done. Look at that. Through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature. Are you catching this? Because we have God's divine nature now. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's people right now so buried in lust, they cannot see anything that's good. There's people caught up in drugs and alcohol, pornography, gambling. And their heart is being destroyed because they haven't turned to God. They're being extracted by, and they're believing the lies of Satan, and he is a liar and the father of them. But I'm going to believe what God is saying, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped those ungodly things. Let me ask you this. Do you know people around you that still have a cursing mouth? That'll belittle you? That'll threaten you? Huh? They don't have the divine nature. It's not existent. And they need help. And the only thing that we can do is point those people to Christ. Point them to the cross. Because no matter what we say or do, it's mumble jumble to their ears. Matter of fact, they'll get angry because you're trying to tell them what to do. And they won't see the error of their way, but God can pierce the darkness. God can go in there, hallelujah, and eradicate that darkness and bring light. But you got to allow God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I know someone's going to be delivered listening to this message, because truth needs to be expounded. Truth needs to be lifted up. Jesus needs to be high and lifted up. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to us Gentiles. Praise God. You see, saints, the divine nature is the nature of God. The nature of God allows believers to experience life as God has it and live the way he has instructed us to live. The nature of God is filled with power, glory, abilities, and the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Right up here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So when that is operating in an individual, that is the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Because this is what's coming out of them. Love, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. But behind closed doors, if it's bleepity, bleepity, bleep, 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 the Spirit of God is not there. You know what's at work? It's the devil. He's at work. My goodness. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I'm not saying any lies up here. This is all true.
Thank you, Lord.
Look at number 10. Your limits have been removed. Amen. We can soar with God. We can soar like eagles with Christ. Hallelujah. We can go around the world and preach the gospel now. Matter of fact, some of us are going to India. Right, my brother? We're going to India in 6 months. I see 4 of us going already. It was birthed last week. And so get ready. Get ready, brother. You and Lee are going to lead worship. Me and Sister Yolanda and whoever else is coming. There's an extended invitation for 2 more. They know who they are.
Going.
We're going to India.
Going.
And Brother Mandapali, he said, he goes, just let me know, I'll set the crusade, and there'll be thousands that will come. They're hungry for the gospel. Listen. We preach in and out of, we're preaching every Sunday. We need to take this same message to a world that doesn't even know God. There's 365 million gods in the Hindu religion. And so they're all going to show up. And God, Jesus, is going to be high and lifted up. And he's going to crush all those false gods. And they're going to, I'm just praying that God give them all repentance. Yes. Give them a heart to hear you, God. I can't wait. Even the monkeys on the roofs are going to come. And there's a bunch of them there, he told me. He goes, don't be afraid of them. They won't come up to you. But don't try to feed one. Saints, look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. Look at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. There's no limit with God. You know, how many times have you got down and, man, I can't think of something right now, God, but I'm here on my knees. And then, man, the power of God will come over.
That's right.
And then he'll start praying for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Have you been in that? Yeah, come on. It's called being in your closet. Something happens for me. I get down on my knees. I put that little, what's it called?
The prayer shawl.
And man, his presence come upon me. I know he's there. And now, speak, Lord. Your servant is here. Speak, Lord. Saints, weaknesses can also refer to our limitations. You catch that? Weaknesses can refer to our limitations. The Greek word for help describes working with others to help them obtain something. The word also means to take hold of an object with another. The Holy Spirit will help you take hold of your weaknesses by strengthening you and enlightening you to help you overcome them. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. How many are so blessed to know that the Holy Spirit's at work in your life? The Holy Spirit also works with you to take you past your limitations.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I don't know how to preach. And God will take you past that.
Thank you, Lord.
Where you'll preach to your neighbor next door.
Right.
Oh, come on. You may not be called to the pulpit ministry, but your pulpit is your neighbor next door. Your roommate. You could take the gospel there. Can I get an amen? The Holy Spirit causes believers to experience the limitless life of new creation realities. God is not limiting you. Often people limit what God can do in their lives. You are the ones that put a limitation on God. Look, you have to understand this. We talked about this earlier. Look at this. You are an ambassador. You're a representative from heaven. Did you know that? Because if God divinely puts his Spirit in you, you are now a representative of him on earth. Oh, that's right. Well, show me that where it says that, Pastor Fee. Okay, well, just don't believe what I'm saying. Believe what you're reading right here. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. We are called to be ambassadors. When people look at you, they should see Jesus in you. Can I get an amen? Or do they look at you as, oh man, here comes that profane babbler. Huh? What would you rather be labeled? An ambassador for Christ, right? Saints, when an ambassador is sent to another country, the ambassador is assigned to represent the interests of the nation or kingdom that has sent him or her. The ambassador is authorized by that kingdom, and we've been sent by the Holy Spirit of God from heaven. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? And listen, we're coming in for a close. I get it. Don't worry. There's a whole bunch of food there in the fellowship hall. Don't just, it'll be there waiting for us. Hallelujah. Praise God, we're not going to hometown buffet where all the ribs are gone by now. Look at this. You are royalty. Royalty. Come on. Have you ever woke up one morning and says, man, I didn't grasp it, but I'm royalty to God. Royalty. Well, that's right. Royalty. Look at this. Look what Paul wrote to Rome. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through what? Through the one, much more are those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one who is Christ Jesus. And then look what John wrote in Revelation here. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Saints, as soon as we were born again, you were brought into the royal family of God. You are royalty. Royalty is more than a title or rank. Royalty becomes with the understanding of certain responsibilities, authority, and protocols in our life. Saints, royalty is the status given to those who are born again. And this includes expectations for how they should behave, think, carry themselves as members of God's royal family. So people will know if you're of the royal family of God. You'll walk with a tender heart. You'll pray, you'll love, you'll cherish, you'll share. You'll build up, you'll lift up. But if it's a mouth of just spewing out ungodliness and tearing down a life, you are not part of the royalty of God. It's cut and dry. Because there's no evidence of God living in you. No evidence. The evidence of your life spewing out like that is evidence that you're still of your father, the devil. That's cut and dry. Because that's what Jesus told the Pharisees. Because they were just religious. They were just religious, trying to find fault with Jesus. You know, Jesus He's the only one that came against the religious sector of that generation. It was the religious folks. They were filled with dead men's bones. They were empty. They didn't help the people. They didn't build up people's lives. They just took from them. And they walked over the peasants. Jesus came and searched us out because we were poor and wretched. He came for us. And how many believe you are the temple of God? Huh? Because you are the temple. We're the temple of God. And if you're the temple of God, guess what? Darkness don't live there. Darkness don't have no part in the temple of God. Look at this. Or do you not know? Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Look at this, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. We belong to God, and we're bought with a price. Saints, one of the most marvelous benefits of the new covenant over the old covenant is that believers are now the temple of God. You see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will come upon them for a moment, and God will use them, and then he will withdraw from them. Case in point, remember King Saul? He would call David to come and play the harp. And so King David was anointed. And so it would bring peace to him. Why? Because Saul was tormented by an evil spirit all the time. And God would send that evil spirit because he was always in disobedient to God. King Saul was so disobedient. God would say, no, go this way. No, don't take that. No. And he would defy God. And so God would send a spirit and torment him. Do you know God sends tormenting spirits too? When you get out of the will of God, God will do something to you. And then what happened is he knew that the only joy and peace he could be was he had to be in the presence of God. So King David would come play his harp, and it would bring comfort to him for a short period. But he was always tormented. But you and I, in this dispensation, we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many can honestly say the Holy Ghost is living inside you? Lord, yes. Hallelujah! He's living inside us, huh? Oh, yes, he is. Hallelujah, because there's no darkness in there. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Listen, saints of God, you have to come to a conclusion is you have purpose in God. There's purpose for your life. We're not accidents. Can I get amen? Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in the New Living Translation. Look at this. It says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. He already planned out our life long ago. And some of us, he has planned a beautiful, wonderful, saved life. And then there is some, unfortunately, that plan is destruction for them. And they end up dying a hideous death. Now, was that the plan of God for their life? No, it's what they chose for their life. They chose that for their life instead of choosing God. But we chose God. Can I get amen? We chose God. And we're going to live forever with him. That's the benefits of being a child of God. You see, my friends, you got to come to a conclusion that you are not an accident. Your life matters. You have a divine assignment, a calling, a heavenly purpose. And when people think that their lives do not matter, think again. Those are the ones that live aimlessly. The purpose God has for you is so grand that it requires you to stop living as mere mortals and live in the divine call. Rise above it. Rise above it. In order to accomplish what God has for you and fulfill your purpose, you must live as a superhuman who understands that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Come on. I'm not living as the old fee. You wouldn't want to be around me 35 years ago. I had a cursing mouth. I have an old video. Someone filmed me in the lumber yard at Western Lumber, and I looked at it. Yolanda never saw that ever before in me, and it was a shock to me because it was bleepity, bleepity, bleep, 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 bleep. Every other word was the F-bomb coming out of my mouth. And I said, man, was that really me? And God had to remind me, yeah, but I delivered you from that. I delivered you from that. Hallelujah. And he has delivered most of us in here. Can I get amen? And there are some of you that still need to be delivered. Those of you watching. Listen, how many believe that you are anointed by God? You know why? Because you are anointed. We're anointed. Christ is not, listen, Christ is not Jesus' last name. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not his last name. Some people go, oh, what's Jesus' last name? Christ. That's not his last name. It's not his last name, saints. Christ describes who Jesus is. The word Christ means the anointed one. That's what Christ means. It refers to the anointing Jesus anointed with. Look at this. It's found in 1 Corinthians. Look, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Check this out, saints of God. In other words, every believer is part of the body of Christ, meaning every believer is part of the anointed one. If Christ is anointed, he lives in us, then guess what? He has anointed you. You have his same nature. You have the divine nature. If Jesus is truly living in you, God has anointed you, he has approved you, and he has accepted you. He has given you his AAA card. Appointed, anointed, and accepted by the beloved. Hallelujah. And we're going to close right here with this. Right here. Look at this. This little guy is working slow for me. You are a spirit. How many believe that you are a spirit? Listen, we're made of mind, body, and what? Soul. Did you know that this body, it's only temporarily? It just houses the spirit. This body's going back to the dust. This body is going to have its purpose for so many years, and then it goes back to the dust. But look at this. In 1 Thessalonians, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. You see, saints, God has made humans tripart beings. Many people consider themselves bodies. Yeah, we have this body. And some of us look in that mirror and we don't look like we used to 30 years ago. I don't care how much we brush it or the lack thereof. Listen, we're aging, aren't we? It's temporarily. What matters to God is the Spirit of God living inside of us. You see, we're tripart beings. Many people consider themselves a combination of their minds and their bodies, but the scripture reveals the true human creation. Humans are spirits who possess souls and live in these physical bodies. And you are not your body. It's temporarily. It's a housing. Listen, in real estate, there's people that rent and there's people that own. But guess what? They're still the same. Because we're not taking none of that to heaven. The renter's still going to die one day, either go to heaven or hell. The owner is going to die one day and still going to go to heaven or hell. See, God owns everything on this planet. We're here but for a moment. Can I get amen? We're here but for a temporary moment. And so this is why God wants to use us mightily in these last days that we live in. Listen, how many times do we have to turn on the news and here's another mass shooter? And here's another person that got mowed down. Every day, isn't it? Almost every day now. But I'm here to let you know that you and I, we have the hope of glory. That's right. And we have to understand how Paul and Peter and the apostles understood. Friday night, I was at a wonderful camp meeting up in Vista called Glen Oaks. This place was phenomenal. Right off of Sycamore in Vista, you would have never thought that place was there until you drive there. As soon as Sister Yolanda and I drove into the ranch, if that's when the ranch grounds, there must have been 100 acres. It was so vast. This place was enormous. And I was invited by Sister Kedma, Brother Andre, and Sister Leah. They led worship there. And there was so many that came around from the nation. They came to celebrate the Jesus movement. Back in the late 60s and 70s, during Chuck Smith days, when the Calvary Chapel bursted out. And then there was another, I forget his name. Yes. Well, once again? Yeah, the Vineyards. Lonnie Frisbee. It was that group. And there were many of the old timers there, still on fire for God. And what I loved about it was radical worship. You know, here, You can hear everyone. You can hear the instruments. You can hear everyone sing, which is great. It has its place. But over there, I couldn't even see the ones that were playing the instruments anymore. I couldn't even see the ones that were singing. Everyone was just dancing in the spirit everywhere. And there was a huge celebration. And what was astounding is I had no recollection. How many know what Victory Outreach is? You know how they have men and women's where they could go get right with God? That's a Christian ranch. And out of the midst, this one person came and said, God just opened up 12 beds and we need to get them filled up. So many people have gone there and got delivered from drugs and alcohol, pornography, gambling, and people that need help. And I'm praying if you know someone that needs help like that, get a hold of me because I know how to get a hold of them now. And that's where people can truly, truly get set free. Because Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy. He wants to destroy individuals. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy kids. He wants to destroy. This is what Satan wants to do. You know, guess why the dark is so dark right now? Because Jesus is about to return. Jesus is about ready to return. And the Bible says as he draws closer to coming, Satan sees that and he's causing havoc around the world. Exceptionally in this nation. And I'm going to pray that if you don't know who the Lord Jesus is, this is an opportune time to give your heart to Christ. This is a great opportunity to truly cry out to God and ask God to save you. Ask God. How many of you right now know people that need help, that need help? They need God's help right now. How many of you know that there's people that need help? There is. And there's help. It's through the power of God. I'm going to ask Brother Andre and Sister Kevin to come up and just whatever soft they want to play. I truly believe that this message is a reminder to us that Jesus is coming soon. And he wants our lives to be right before him. And we need to understand who we are in Christ. We are new creatures. The divine nature of God lives within us. And we need to be about our Father's business. Can I get amen? And so, if you're listening right now, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. I'm praying for those who are here that maybe need God. They've never given their heart to Jesus. And I've seen God do the miraculous in the midst of his people. Pray this prayer with me right now. And come to Jesus by faith. Maybe some of you have prayed this over and over again, and yet there's no change. The change comes is when your heart truly turns to God and there's real repentance. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you want God now to come into your life and make you all brand new. We're new creatures in Christ. So pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on, is Jesus worthy? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.